Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook/The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter @The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Jambo, fellow adventurers, this is Mike Dooley, and you are listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So here we are, Kick-Ass Life, take two. You know, we just recorded half a show and my card was full. So we're starting all over, but I'm sitting here in Belize, private island, with some amazing guests. I have four guests here. Normally on Thursdays I run solo, but let's introduce ourselves. Right here we have...
Peter from Perth, Australia.
Now, you know, when you've done a show once, and listen to me, excuse me, I'm going through puberty. I'm losing my voice right here, but
Sympathizing with your sons.
That's right.
Now.
I've got a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I sound like I'm going through puberty. But Peter, you know, just talk about, you've come from Perth. Mm-hmm. We're here on this little tiny island. Talk about how many hours it took to get here.
Okay, so we left on Friday morning, Australian Western Standard Time, which is Thursday night in the States, and we got to the island on Sunday afternoon. So a few days. We stopped over in LA for a little bit, but we just lost track of the flights. I think it was five flights.
But you've been here, what? Have you been here for like one whole day now?
One whole day. Yeah, it's so worth it, though. It's absolutely fine.
And if you had to describe the island, like you're just here, you've only been here for one day, how does it feel? How do you describe it to someone listening in?
It's magic. It really is. It's like nothing else. I just love how eco and natural it is, and the energy here is just amazing. It's magical.
And you just, by the way, in the background, everyone, there's a dance party going on with all the students. So if you hear that sort of noise and dancing and hooping and hollering, that's the dance party. Peter, one last thing. People on a Monday show, I talked about somebody saying that Perth was closer to the moon than it was to Belize. That was you. So everyone knows this is the girl I'm talking about. And talking about that, who we got here?
Hi, everyone. My name is Sanj from Toronto, Canada.
And Sanj is on Monday's show. I dedicated the show to Amber, a little 18-month-old.
That's right, yeah.
18-month-old, and her beautiful mom, Chelsea, who happens to be Sanj's wife and daughter. Sanj, you don't leave them very often, do you?
No, it's actually my first time away from them, and yeah.
And you only decided to come to this island how many days ago?
5 days ago.
5 days ago.
Yeah.
And the reason we met was what? How did we meet?
Actually, through your show, Kick-Ass Life. I started listening to it, I think, three episodes into when you started the show, and I absolutely loved it. So actually, listening to it has changed my life in a big way, and I tune into every show. Don't miss one.
Yeah, I'm slipping him dollars as he says those kind things. But and you're from where originally?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And who we got here?
My name is Chris from Phoenix, Arizona.
But you're not from, you just moved to Phoenix.
I just recently moved to Phoenix from Idaho.
Idaho.
Southeast Idaho, yes.
All right.
Land of potatoes.
Now, the potato country.
Question.
I used to live in just outside Boise. Uh-huh. So where do you live in Idaho?
Oh, Southeast Idaho, so Idaho Falls. It's close to West Yellowstone National Park, just a few hours away. So.
Now, moving where you are right now, like, I mean, is that very vastly different, the two lifestyles?
Yes, it's very different.
And better, worse, different?
You know, different is different. Better or worse, I mean, I love the snow. I miss the snow. I hate the snow. I'm happy that Arizona doesn't have the snow. But at the same time, I was watching a football game the other day, and there was snow falling down, and I thought, you know, that looks really pretty. So
will you miss it at Christmas?
I'll be back there at Christmas, actually.
You?
We're going back to Idaho. So, yeah, we're going to go and take a little visit for
bring
a day.
Bring your long johns.
That's right.
You're
that's right. You better believe it.
And who's here?
Oh, it's me, Jen, from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Oh, yes. This is Jen. Lovely Jen from The Saturday Show. And we're just sitting around. You know, it's late at night. And tomorrow we have this adventure planned. Where are you going tomorrow? What are you doing in the morning?
I'm going snorkeling and doing yoga.
snorkeling and yoga. Now, you asked me a question today. It's so funny. I thought I knew all the adventures in Belize. You said, hey, Dave, what about skydiving into the Blue Hole, which is one of the great dive sites of the world? And I'd never heard of it. So I had to look it up on the computer tonight. I'm saying, hey, that's what we're going to do in March. So are you going to come back in March and skydive?
Yeah, I'll come back in March. I'll leave in February.
But they actually skydive right into the Blue Hole.
Yeah, I know. We've been looking at it. We're doing it. It's on the list.
Well, we could extend your flight by one day. You know that. Then I'll come do it.
You should. Stay and do it. Tell us what it's like.
Yeah.
And Sanj, what are you up to tomorrow?
Wow, a lot of things. First thing in the morning, I'm going to go for a run. I ran this morning. Wow.
You're running on an island. Hold on. People get this concept. You're on a private island. Right. How do you run on an island?
Oh, man, it was beautiful. I think it's a mile across, and I must have ran like five times, so it's like 5 miles. It was
so
the most.
You did a five-mile run on this private island.
On a mile-long
island.
Yeah.
It was
island.
The most beautiful run ever. I mean, hearing the ocean, the birds, and wow, it was like.
And Dewey the dog barking at you.
Oh, yeah, it was the most amazing run ever.
Awesome.
And then after that, I think I'm going to do yoga with Jen. And then after that, I'm going to go kayaking to the bird sanctuary.
Yeah, I'm going to do a little tour around. That sounds great. Yeah. Chris, what's your adventure tomorrow?
You know, it's really going to be intense. I'm going to run twice as much as Sanj because because this guy's built like you wouldn't believe.
Sanj is great. He's pretty cute. I mean, yeah. If they put him on a postage stamp, they'd sell more of him.
You know what? I got to say, on the top of the, is it Casita? Is that what we're
yeah,
on top
the
of Casita? There's a hammock, like a gazebo, a thatch covered couple of hammocks. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna have a massage out on the dock, mm-hmm. and then I'm gonna snorkel around.
You worked your tail off.
I'm just gonna frolic around in the waters, the Belizean waters, and frolic.
You'll be like a little nymph.
Well, exactly.
A frolicking
that's
nymph.
That's it. You guys want to see some frolicking nymph? You see me tomorrow. That's it.
So you're chillaxing. You're teaching tomorrow. You're teaching yoga. I'm going diving tomorrow, and there are some of the group are going zip lining. So everyone's going to go on an adventure in the morning, and then we're actually here at actually a program learning. Mm-hmm. So what's the program? Just talk about the program while you're here.
The program is Good to Great, and it's aside from being a personal development program, which takes you apart and puts you back together, which I think is what David does best, it trains the trainers. So it trains you to train other people, whether it be, you know, specific material or maybe just your message. So I'm really excited.
And so you're attracted. I want to talk a little bit about what you do, right? So you're a really old person of what, 25?
Pull your wheelchair up a little closer to the table.
Are those your teeth in that glass? Is that what's going on? Are you 25?
25.
And you're kind of like financially free already.
I am financially free.
You make me sick. No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't make me sick at all. I mean, I really believe in this. So 25, just tell me briefly, what did you do in the past? What was your J-O-B, your job, before you decided to actually go out there and do something different?
So just to go back, I did work a lot of jobs. I've worked ever since I was 14, and I worked all through school for jobs like $5 an hour jobs. So I've always worked really hard all through school. But then I spent 6 years at the University of Western Australia, and I did a Bachelor of Exercise and Health Science, and then I did my honours degree, and I wrote a paper that was published in a journal. And then I thought my whole life would be become a doctor by the time I was 25. So I started my PhD, and so I got a scholarship, and it was all going amazingly, and I wrote my proposal, and then I had a nudge from the universe which had me just dive out of that and into now I'm living a very fortunate life, and I'm glad I took the risk.
But fortunate is, I mean, I want to sort of just give people a context on that, is that you went from what you felt was your life path, you worked really, really hard for it, and something shifted mm-hmm. where you started to invest more inside of you. You started to take you as a, you were the most important thing. So you started to actually do personal growth, you started to look at your life, you started to ask questions, and you found a new vehicle, and you started doing something extraordinary. So, you know, how long has it taken you to go from that mindset to creating the financial freedom you have?
Okay, so I make my turning point November last year. So November 2012, I was earning less than $500 a week, and I was literally burnt out. I was working hard and not working smart, and I was just working so much on outside stuff and not so much on the inside. And I just hit a point. I remember spending 2 days on the couch, not going to work, not going to see my clients. And that was the first time I've ever done that. And I knew something was up. So I listened to Earl Nightingale, The Stranger's Secret, on repeat in my car, literally about 100 times until I could recite the entire thing word for word, you know, in his accent. And
let's hear it.
An excerpt.
This is The Stranger's Secret.
Yeah.
You'll become what you think about. But anyway, I can do it all. I can do it all. But that changed everything. Changed everything for me. And I just, you know, I didn't realize it would. But from then, I never got in my car unless there was someone like Earl Nightingale in my car. And from then, I just started to expect more from myself, and I started to learn more about myself.
Oh, no, that's a great thing, to expect more from myself.
Yeah.
Right? Because I suppose in life and school and normally people don't ask a lot of each other, right? I mean, a lot of people just accept a lot or accept what's going on, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what happened?
So then I was really lucky to, I had an opportunity at my fingertips. I was really lucky to be open to what it could really do for me. And I just started running with it. And I suppose that's when I started my path of what I really call like enlightenment and an awakening. I started to see everything different. I started to really move through the process of letting go of the people in my life who weren't serving me and pushing through that phase of, you know, what a lot of young people, what everyone goes through, but you people in your life who don't get it and that who aren't evolving as you're evolving. And, you know, there was some bullying and there was a lot of that sort of stuff, but I knew that I was being called. I knew that I was being pulled to something more, not just for myself, but for young people everywhere. And so I listened and I went, and I was sort of blind to the way that I went, but I just knew that I had to. I knew that there was something more. I knew that life was meant to be really abundant, and I knew that I was meant to have that. So I started, you know, running with this opportunity, and it everything just started lining up, and it's just been the most amazing year of my life.
And the why I love, I just want to talk about that. I'm gonna ask Sandra a question then. But your why is about, you know, your mom raises four kids, mm-hmm. single mom, and so what drove you to work as hard as you've worked? Because you're pretty exceptional, even in this industry, you're exceptional. Is that, you know, you're a top one percenter. But your results, some people it's 3, 5, 7, 10 years, but you've done a lot in 1 year. You've done more in 1 year than a lot of people have. But I think primarily it's because of the drive. And your mom, you wanted to retire her and you wanted to buy her a home and thank her for what she's done. And how did you do? I mean, have you got there yet?
Yeah. So when I saw what the vehicle could do, and when I saw what residual income could do, I straight away knew what I wanted to do with it. And I always had a dream to retire my mum from her job. She's been a school teacher for almost 40 years now. And if it wasn't for someone stepping in and helping her with her mortgage and retiring her, she would literally be working till she was 70 and only just then paying off her mortgage. So I knew that I wanted to do it. And so I'm now in the position to not only pay off her mortgage, but to retire her as well. And it's up to her that she wants to work another year. But it feels amazing to know that I have that gift, and I have the power to not only to free her now, but to add 10, 20 years to her life. And then after handling my mom, I know that there's, you know, who else and who's next. And just it's just the best feeling ever to have that choice at such a huge level.
Yeah, especially at 25. Sandra, I want to ask you a question. Now, you and I met through the show.
Right.
And obviously we've become really close. And right. The fact you're here and the fact that you've talk about your life before the show as far as what's going on for you, how are you doing financially, what's your mindset like, and just sort of explain a little bit what that journey's been like.
Well, I think for the most part of my life, I was kind of on autopilot, and I came into personal development about 2 years ago. Then I got into listening to your podcast, and it's really, really changed my life in a big way. I've been a traditional business owner most of my life and never really had.
How old are you again?
I'm 37.
37.
Yeah.
He looks like he's 22.
And when my daughter was born about a year and 8 months ago, and I had this shift in my mind where I didn't want to do what I was doing anymore because I saw my dad, he owned a traditional business for most of my life, and I never saw him. him, and I never had a relationship with him. I think because of that, he was always away running the business, and I don't even remember ever getting a hug from him. So me and him never had a relationship. So when my daughter Amber was born, I started thinking I didn't want to live this life that he did. So I kind of got into personal development, started reading books, started listening to your show, and then obviously, you know, you introduced me to a great vehicle where I started dreaming again. You know, I saw a way to really
live your conventional business. Before we go there, what was life like on a daily basis? Because when we look at the stats, 84% of businesses fail.
Right.
And here you are working your tail off, mm-hmm. you know, and really sacrificing time with your daughter, with your wife. Mm-hmm. Talk about your business and what was the struggle every day? What was the, what were you facing each day? And, you know, financially, what was going on? If you don't mind sharing, I mean, we haven't talked about this before the show. So.
Right. Well,
by the way, everyone, we just push record and we started talking. We had no idea where we're going, just so you know. So.
Yeah. Well, I always wanted to own a business because I thought it gave you freedom and you had the choices to make, right? So when I started the business, you know, soon after I started it, the business started owning me, and I had no lifestyle. I had no time. I was working maybe 12 to 15 hours a day, not really seeing my wife, and really didn't have a life, you know, working 7 days a week, and really frustrated financially, you know, always in a tight bind. You know, most of the money that I was making was going right back into the business to keep it going. So every month I was breaking even and not really going anywhere. So that was really frustrating and very stressful. And I think it changed me as a person too, because I started becoming very angry, you know, very stressed. You know, my sleeping patterns got, you know, thrown off and started becoming very unhealthy. So at that time I knew this is not something I wanted to do forever, but, you know, I didn't know anything other than running a traditional business.
So now you've had the courage, you've stepped out of that.
Right.
Just let's not talk about the business model yet. I'll come back and talk to you about that. But talk to me a little bit about how do you feel right now as far as your relationship with your wife, your kids, your body? What's going on for you just in the fact that you've stepped out of the rat race? And even though you haven't, I mean, you've got Peter here who's created the financial freedom.
Right.
And you're just starting on the journey knowing it exists.
Right.
How are you feeling?
Oh, man, I feel amazing. You know, I feel like a kid again. And I honestly started dreaming again. I see the possibilities, you know, and it's giving me a new leash on life. I'm a happier person at home. I'm a better husband, better father, better friend, better son. And
you got my Christmas list, right?
Yeah. And I was telling someone earlier, actually, like in the last 7 months, I feel like, you know, my innocence and my youth is coming back. And my wife always says, wow, you're a different person. What's happening to you? Wow. And she feels really good to be around
me. She says,
me.
If you were like that, I'd have married you sooner. But so again, when you listen to Peter's story, mm-hmm. and someone's 25, I mean, you and her are sort of in the same generation, but what does that do for you when you hear someone who's really sort of put it all on the line and just gone for it and sort of broken away from the traditional mold? I mean, what do you think when you listen to Peter?
Wow, it's very inspiring. Very inspiring. Gives me the courage to, you know, go out and create a life of my life that I desire, create my own lifestyle. You know, when I was in my traditional business and when I was working in the corporate world prior to that, and you don't see the possibilities of, you know, creating freedom, and you're kind of stuck in this rat race. But now I'm dreaming, and you know, her story really inspires me, and I feel like there's a lot of young people out there like Peta that I can help, and really help them to see their dreams and, you know, get them.
It's pretty cool though. You live in Ontario, Canada. She lives in Perth, and yet you're already connected, but you can, because of social media, because right. of the way the world is. I mean, people who live, you know, 20,000 miles away from each other can really help each other. It's not like you can't help each other do this, right?
Right, absolutely.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what I, you know, the people that I'm working with now, they're just so helpful and they're so friendly and they're always there to help. And that's something that I'm not used to, you know, in traditional business and in this world. It's just like
we're all dog.
That's
God,
right. That's right. And everybody's trying to, you know, stab you in the back, and no, you know, there's no such thing as integrity. And you know, it's a completely different world out here. I mean, you know, people are so nice and so much integrity, and we, I feel feel like everyone is a family.
Sure. I know it sounds a little woo, everyone, but Chris, I want to move to you for a sec, because I mean, you're a guy that sort of really helps run the corporation that allows these dreams to come true. And, you know, you work with leaders, I mean, really, and people starting out and people who are just, you know, people who are terrified, people who don't understand, you know, and it's a huge responsibility that you take on with your team. There's a sales team that work together to really help people do that. Talk about some of the stories or talk about, you know, what you see every day when people like Sanchita or Peter, who really step out of that rat race, you know, what are some of the real things they go through and why some quit, some, you know, it terrifies them. Just talk a little bit about your experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that we see with people that want to take that step beyond the typical rat race, like you said, or the J-O-B is, you know, the thing that holds them up is the fear of the unknown. You know, there's that consistent, that paycheck that comes in every Friday or every other Friday. And, you know, some people are afraid because there are separate activities that you have to personally commit to, like PETA and Sanj have done. I mean, you can decide if you're going to be interested or be committed. And these people...
So what's that story about the pig and the chicken, do you know?
I don't. What do you got?
The chicken lays the egg, is interested, but the pig is really committed at the breakfast.
No. Well, no, and it's not, you know, that the interested and committed to something that I turn too off to, and Coach Krzyzewski of Coach K of the Duke Blue Devils, he said,
that's the football team, right?
It's the basketball team.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Duke College
this
basketball
is 187 countries.
So sorry, guys. Yeah. And he also coached the United States Olympic basketball team back in 2012 to gold. And he said, you know, one of the things that he said about being the most winningest college basketball coach in all time is you've got to make a distinction between being interested and being committed. When you're interested in something, you do something only when it's convenient. When you're committed, you follow through, no excuses, no matter what. Now that's paraphrasing.
No, but I get it.
But I mean, it comes down to, and he spoke about it, it's the entire program. It's when he talks to the parents, he talks to the kids before they join the college ranks. It's everything has to be to a level of commitment that you're willing to sacrifice what it takes to have that level of success that PETA and Sanj have. And that's the difference. That's what we see, is we see people that start to build their own business independently, and some of them aren't willing to commit. They want to dabble. And when you dabble, you'll see a dabble of success. But when you truly commit and you allow yourself to do it when it's not convenient, doing it when it matters and make those sacrifices, that's when you see the level of success that these two have seen. And that's what I've seen so much with all of the leaders that I speak to, is those that are going to see that success are the ones that truly put it as their focus and drive, and they're able to make a phenomenal difference in others' lives.
And when you look at the stories, I mean, when you go to bed at night and you close your eyes and you know that, I mean, there's obviously, like any industry, there's people that struggle a lot, there's people that excel. But one thing that's consistent that I see, and I mean, I've been sort of working really closely alongside people like you, and you and I work closely together now. But what is that sort of idea when you watch people who really do break through and really grasp what PETA's talking about right now, the idea that she's able to, you know, free her mom from a J-O-B and retire her mom and buy her mom's house, and she's only 25. And Sanj, who's, you know, been able to get out of being sort of uptight and getting angry and frustrated and stepping into a whole new life with his wife and his 18-month-old, you know, just already starting out. What goes on for you at night in your mind when you start seeing the people who really step through, you know, that the uncertainty to certainty?
Oh, it's one of those things that you just can't put words to, David. I mean, truly, it's when people find that belief in themselves, because that's what it comes down to. We've seen people, you know, Sanj and PETA and many, many others that have seen exceptional success, and it's because they believe in themselves. They believe in the system that's out there that's available to them. They believe in what's happening with the industry that we're involved in. And when they make those steps to take that belief and put it into action, then that's when they start to see that success. And there have been individuals that I have worked with very, very closely that they start out and they're just, boy, I just don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. I'm not sure if I believe, I don't think I can. And then it's telling these stories like the people are listening to right now. It's PETA's story. It's Sanja's story. It's relating a 25-year-old's experiences from Perth, Australia. It's relating Sanja's experiences as a 37-year-old husband and father, and allowing people to see that it's not just what's going on in your life. Whatever you're experiencing, there are others out there that are experiencing similar challenges. Right. And it's that difference, and it's belief in yourself, and then taking the steps forward to make that commitment that is really what can propel you to the success that these two are seeing right here. Mm.
So, Jenna, we pop over to you because here you are. You went through 3 years of uncertainty. You were a dabbler.
I was a dabbler.
You dabbled and you kind of like didn't really believe. And when we talk about belief in self, I mean, you came through as a national champion of Canada gymnastics and going for the Olympics and you missed it by 3 spots. So, you know, in your world, you were never, ever good enough because, you know, gymnastics was you do the perfect trick and then it's like, well, you know, there's always another level. So, you know, that was in your, back in your time, this is ridiculous, but your coach
back
used
in
to,
the day.
But your coach used to hit you, right?
Yes.
I mean, I can't believe it. Can you imagine a coach where she'd get it wrong and they come up and whack you, right? So you didn't have the highest self-esteem.
No, I had no self-esteem.
So when you first started dabbling, let's talk the word dabbling, and your business wasn't growing, you weren't able to see you being successful. Talk about how you shifted from a dabbler to now being someone who has already retired from your job and you've been able to create freedom, you're traveling around the world, you just got back from Thailand and Australia, now you're here, and we're, you know, there's always this next journey you're on. How did you do that?
Oh, I think it's exactly what Chris was saying. It's the belief in self is where it all starts, and you know, having a 10 out of 10 belief in me, that's where everything starts.
But how did you do that?
So I think it was just doing lots of work on me and realizing that I had to be number one, and changing a lot of things in my life, changing people in my life, recognizing that the things that I weren't doing in that moment were healthy for me, getting rid of the things that were holding me back, changing the language that I was using with myself.
So give an example so people hear that. So what was something
you
used before?
Okay, so I would always come back to I'm not good enough, because that's what I grew up with. I was always told I'm not good enough. You know, as an athlete, as a gymnast, nothing was ever good enough. You'd learn a trick and it'd be like, okay, good job, now we're going to do this, not good enough. You know, your toes aren't pointed, smack the feet, right? So it was never, ever good enough. So I created this habit of I'm not good enough and I had to be perfect in everything that I did. So I think when I started in this business, I was approaching it as I had to be perfect at it in the beginning. And when things shifted for me is when I realized that there's no difference to this profession as to my profession as a massage therapist. And so I realized that it took me 2 years to become a professional massage therapist and 2 to 3 years in the profession practicing before I really felt confident in what I was doing and treating my clientele. And when I switched my mindset to realize that this profession was the same way, that I'm not going to be perfect overnight, it's going to take time, I'm going to fall down, I need to pick myself back up and learn. And when I treated this as a profession and I allowed myself time, and even now, I'm still learning. And you know, now that I treat it as a profession,
you find it weird,
you know,
now people look at you and they use the word leader.
Yes.
I watched that transition over the last year. People are like, you know, they look up to you. Oh, it's Jen Wu.
Well, I grew up as the shy child. I was that kid that never put their hand up in class. And if I was asked a question, I'd be breaking my pencil. I was so nervous. Like, I was just that quiet, shy, like painfully shy. My parents were embarrassed to bring me anywhere public, I'm sure.
Because
I wouldn't speak. I was afraid of
the phone. You know your mom's
going
to listen to
yeah.
this. Barb.
I was afraid to talk on the phone. I remember as a kid sitting in front of the phone having to make a phone call, and it would take me an hour and a half. I'd sit in front of the phone and be like, okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say that, and I'd plan it all out, pick up the phone and be so nervous and be shaking.
By the way, she's shaking right now.
So, yeah, and I always just thought that I was a lead or a follower, and that I would just, you know, as an athlete as well, I was told what to do. I did what I was told. Mm. And I think that's part of the reason why I became a good athlete, but it doesn't work now.
Sure. Peter, I want to ask you a question. You know, if you were given advice, you know, again, you've become a great inspiration. You've helped a lot of young people already retire. I mean, people are crazy. I mean, people had JOBs. What is a young person? I mean, in Perth, give us an example. You know, your brother, Joe.
Ben.
Ben. I mean, your sister's involved, right? Your mom's involved with you now. I mean, you've got a whole family who are, you're helping sort of understand how to create freedom. But what is an average 25-year-old in a normal job? What are they earning a month, let's say?
In Perth, I think it's better than a lot of parts of the world because it's fairly expensive to live there. But, I mean, $70,000 a year would be good. A lot of people in Perth do what we call FIFO because they work on the mines, so they fly in, fly out, and they earn between $100,000 and $200,000. But what they trade for that is their whole life, especially when they're young. So, I mean,
but that's a rare situation because of the mines.
They have this exactly, rare situation. And it's money for time again. So it's not wealth, and it So
just to give it context then, so, you know, if a great wage in, oh, let's talk about your profession. What would be someone who was a professor doing what you did, going after what you did, what would be the sort of top end of your, excuse me, your income scale?
I'd say they earn around $200,000 if they were doing really well as a professor, but that's a professor, I mean, a lot of years. But just as a scientist and just as a researcher, they wouldn't earn any more than $100,000.
So, okay. So, and last month you made about, what, 30?
About 42.
40,
yeah.
Is that kind of weird to think that you can make in 2 months what you'd make in a whole year?
Or I still can't get over it.
Do you actually look at your bank balance sometimes? You just got to double it. You don't look at it.
I can't even speak. I mean, at the end of my bed, I have a big whiteboard, and it's just gratitude.
I've seen that, by the way. I've been to her house. And
it just says, like, you know, thank you. And I say thank you 100 times before I even put my feet on the ground, before I get out of bed, because I just feel so lucky. And I think with that, I see the money, and I know that it's a lot. I really do, but I don't attach to it. I just take it and think, okay, what can I do with it? So I never attach to the amount.
But let me ask you one other question. Think 10 years from today, based on what you now know, this new world you've stepped into, based on the amount of people you're helping, what do you think you could earn a year, 10 years from today?
Well, I had this conversation with a friend who's in the same business last week, and we said it, and it was really cool to have this conversation. It was a really authentic conversation, and we said to each other, when we're earning $1 million a month, we're going to get together and fly it to opposite sides of the world, and we're just going to decide who to give it to. And it was such a powerful conversation, because we know that it's going to happen.
That's a cool concept, man.
And it was like, we're already putting together, and we private message each other. We're like, I've already got plans. I want to put some here and put some here. And it really is just a matter of time now, because it's rock solid. And
you know the formula works. You know what you've been able to do in a short time.
Exactly.
What I want to finish with you, Peter, if you had to give one piece of advice to people listening right now, whether they're young, whether they're old, what's the one thing that you think that you could leave people with to actually, you know, even if it's just to see the world differently in this moment, but what would you say? What's one thing that they could do listening to this if they want to change their circumstances and step into a greater life?
I think I have two. The first one is just show up as you. Like, always show up as you. There's always going to be influence, and there's always going to be people who don't get you, who don't evolve as fast as you, or don't evolve, you know, with you. And you just have to be really honest with yourself, and just always ask yourself, you know, what's the deal? And just go with what feels good for you. And I think authenticity is the biggest thing, and it always will be the biggest thing. But
you said there's two things.
And secondly is just give. The Go Giver by Bob Berg is one of my favorite books. And just live it like
the Go Giver. Just so the Go Giver. Didn't hear that.
Yeah, it is my rules to live by. And if you just always take a step back and think about what it's really about all the time, it's always about someone else. And I think that is the most easy way to live. It's the most simple way to live, because you're never caught up in your own crap. You can just step back and say, and just live a life of service. And I think that's when you start to live really abundantly. And I think that's when my money started to really flow in, was when it was not about me at all. And I really can draw that parallel. So just show up as you and live a life of service, and you will have everything that you want on the inside and on the outside.
Sanj, same question. One piece of advice that you'd give people, again, what you've learned maybe in the last 12 months or 2 years you've been sort of on this journey of personal growth.
Oh, wow.
It's been one of your big lessons. And a book maybe, or some point of reference that someone could go look into.
I would say just, you know, wake up. You know, we've all been taught the conventional way of living our life. It's been passed down for generations and generations. And I think, you know, there's opportunities out there where you can really, you know, like Peter said, you know, come authentically and really create a life of your dreams. And also, one of my main thing would be invest in yourself. And most people aren't doing that now. Everybody's either watching TV or, you know, just getting their information from, you know, television and media and stuff, turn that off, you know, shut it off, because it's always negative. You know, tune into something that's inspiring, start reading books. You know, actually, Go Givers, that's a great book. I've read it. There's a lot of books, personal development books out there that'll kind of like wake you up, start you on a path of thinking differently than the masses. And I think that's the biggest advice I can give is, you know, start reading books. And one of the greatest book I can recommend is, I think, Magic of Thinking Book. Magic of Thinking Big. It's a great book. It really gets you to think outside the box. It gets you to think like there is no box. So that's one of the greatest book I can recommend to really start thinking outside.
Awesome. Chris?
You know, David, I think that the belief that we have in ourselves is so important. And you've talked to me about that, and actually PETA talked to me a little bit about it. And it's a challenge that I have personally, and I think that so many of us have, is the negative thoughts that we often share with ourselves, and we start to tear ourselves down when we don't perform as well as we would have liked to. In reality, we did a great job. And I think it's taking that step back and realizing that we did a good job and congratulating ourselves for the accomplishments that we've made, and not being so, you know, so negative and so hard on ourselves. And, you know, it's just that personal development and helping us believe in ourselves. And if I were to refer a book, I think there's a book called The Slight Edge. And The Slight Edge, yeah. And it's something that I read recently. And actually, a good friend of mine, Eric, was the one who bought the book for me and shared it with me. And as I read that book, you know, one of the things that it counsels is to focus, you know, a certain amount of time each and every day on personal development and helping believe in yourself. And I think when we believe in ourselves, we can overcome those negative aspects in such a greater capacity than we ever could have fathomed. And that's what helps propel us to the next level.
Mm. And Jen?
Gosh, you guys all have such great answers. I feel under pressure.
No. Well, I can give you a gymnastic coach right now. No, I'm just kidding.
I think for me, the first step is awareness. And the first step to change is always awareness. So discovering where you're at and realizing, where am I at right now? What are the thoughts that are going through my mind right now? What are my habits? Are they healthy for me? And recognizing, you know, first with that awareness, recognizing what can you change to change your life. And, you know, for me, it was becoming the person that I was looking for. So, you know, becoming a leader.
I love that. Just so you got to become the person that you're looking for. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Now you just recently joined a book club where you get together with, 12 or 13 crazy women?
Yeah.
And you drink wine and you have fun. And so what book has most impacted you?
We don't read powerful books. No, I'm just kidding.
They had a couple of crappy ones, I gotta tell you that. I can always tell when she's into a good book, she won't talk to me at night. And if she's a crappy one, oh, honey, we should go talk.
Actually, I don't know. The last book I read, I can't even think of what it was called. Oh, Me Before You, it was called. Amazing, amazing book. And I won't tell you much about it, but if you want to be inspired about love and about an unconventional relationship that goes beyond anything I've ever read, it was absolutely beautiful and just opened my heart to realize that love comes in all forms.
Awesome.
Really beautiful.
Now, before we go, I just want to talk a little bit. We've been very serious. This is kind of like but just talk a little bit about here you are. You're in Belize.
Woo!
You're on a little island, man-made. Just anyone jump in with this one. A little bit about your experience so far. I mean, you had a crazy time getting here. Chris, PETA came three days to get here. Just talk a little bit about this experience. Here you are. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's a marine sanctuary. These people that live on this island, are they not the most gorgeous, beautiful people? Talk a little bit about that. Just share some of your experience so far.
You know, I'll just interject really fast. The one thing that I noticed right out of the gate is how absolutely friendly every person that I've spoken to has been. Every person on the island, in the airport, I was sleeping on the bench. But I mean, the people of Belize, and as we came out to this island, the captain, Captain Cruz was his name, who brought us out to the island.
Oh, sea captain. He was
the sea captain. This is so genuine, and you can tell that their passion for what they do is just exceptional. And I really enjoyed just visiting. And I've been to a lot of different areas, a lot of different different places throughout the states in North America. And I tell you, I honestly can say I don't think I've been anywhere that has had such friendly and just loving people as I have here in Belize. Mm, so.
That warms my heart.
Well, for me, I mean, it's made me really grateful for what I have back home. I mean, I think a lot of times we take everything for granted, even though we have a lot of stuff. We're always complaining or chasing for something we don't have. And I look at people here and, you know, they have very little, but they're so happy and they're so present and so genuine, and just made me so grateful for everything that I have and all the relationship that I have back home. And, you know, we really have nothing to complain about in North America. We have all the resources and everything we need, you know, and so it just made me so grateful.
Mm. Feel that?
Yeah, I have butterflies when you just said that, David, because for me, it just really epitomizes what life is about. And it's about the simple things. And when you take away all the fluff and all the nonsense in the, I suppose, in the worlds that we live in back home, you know, you're left with what life really is. You're left with nature. You're left with simplicity. You're left with love. And I feel like when you take away like a lot of the nonsense, which is apparently stressing us out, you become so much fuller, and you really do become a lot happier. And I'm loving being disconnected. I'm loving no one being able to find me or reach me on my phone, which is something that I don't do often. And I'm loving connecting with the people too, because they do really teach you a lot about what life is really about. It's not about stuff. It's about joy, it's about happiness, it's about peace, it's about abundance in other areas. And I think it's so important that everybody does something like this, you know, several times a year.
Well, Jen, this is your fifth week on the island, I think. Multiple trips.
Yeah.
It does feel like coming home, right?
Week? Oh, yeah. I always feel like the island's become like my cottage. Like when we grew up, we always had a summer home. We drive up to the lake, and the moment you drove down the driveway and arrive at the cottage, it was like the stress just melted away. And I find that that's here now. We pull up in a boat, and it's like, and everyone now hugs us and says, welcome home, all the staff now, when we come. And I just love that. And like you guys were saying, the staff here is beautiful. It really allows you to wake up. And I had a beautiful conversation with James today while he was cleaning our room. And he's just, you know, to see him on the outside, he's this happy, like skipping in his step kind of guy. And when you really talk to him about what he's been going through the last few
weeks. Lost his son of 18 in Chicago a few weeks ago, shot 7 times. I mean, you know,
he's been in 7 car accidents.
Mistaken identity, his wife. Just, I mean, just the stuff they go through, but they show up here so present. But with that being said, hey, I want to thank you all. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Sanj. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jen. It was so great to just sit down. You know, you see now, Sanj is like, he sent me an email a week ago?
A text.
He says, one of my dreams is to be on the show. So I just...
Ta-da!
My dream come true.
Come true. You're now on the show, so thank you for
thank
that.
Thank you.
You know how to end the show, those of you that listen to it, right? So we'll see you...
On the other side. Woo-hoo! Woo!
That was kick-ass.